We need to head back to the hotline right now, and we're bringing back an old friend, our buddy Joel Hammond. Joel, how are you, my friend?
Andy, I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Sounded like somebody was beeping at you in the mean streets of downtown Cleveland, Ohio there. You're a celebrity down there. I know that. And it's always great to have you on. But I want to bring you on to give us a little bit of a different perspective on a story that has certainly made the rounds in the baseball world, with the Astros being accused of cheating by using technology to steal signals at Fenway Park. They were accused of this over the course of this past weekend. Reports have surfaced since that back in August, the A's stake claimed that the Astros have been doing the same kind of thing a couple of months ago. The Indians tried to make Major League Baseball aware of this during the American League Divisional Series. So we'll start with this, Joel. As a guy who's kind of been down in those trenches before, in the camera pit, as they call it, what was your initial reaction when you heard about this story a few days ago?
My initial reaction, Andy, was that this was probably just a case of mistaken identity. You know, the first reports were that this person in the camera bay was, if you remember, he had a camera and he was texting a lot. Well, to me, that sounded a lot like what I used to do, right? I was in the camera bay and I had my phone and was taking pictures of the guys in the field. And guess what? I was texting a lot. So that was my first reaction. Like, is it possible this is a big misunderstanding that this person didn't have the right credential to be in the photo bay, and that's why he was removed from that area? You know, there's different clearances when you get to the postseason. You know, I could have a press box credential, but I might not be cleared for the camera pit because it's crowded during the postseason, that sort of thing. So my first reaction was, this has to just be one big mix-up, because the Astros wouldn't be dumb enough to approve this or even be associated with this, with what it eventually ended up being.
So who all is technically allowed in the pit? As far as I understand it, you know, obviously it's reserved for not only, you know, those with the traditional flash photography. You've got folks doing social media things down there. You would describe that's primarily what you were doing when you were with the Indians. Those who watch on STO, they see Andre Knott down there quite a bit. You've got those working the video cameras down there. Who technically is credentialed to be in the pit, especially in these big postseason games?
The MLB works with the home team in this situation to approve who's available to be in the photo pit. So, like, at Progressive Field, for instance, there's probably room for, you know, there's two TV cameras, and then room for probably 8 to 10 other individuals, whether those be still photographers, whether that be Andre Knott, who, you know, during the postseason was doing work for WTAM and the Indians Radio Network. So MLB works with the home team to approve those people. And, heck, I mean, at this stage of the playoffs, that usually doesn't even include a team employee from a social media perspective, usually just a team photographer. So that's how that process works. And it's just, you know, there's somebody watching that area. So just the idea of somebody without the proper credential getting in there, that's why I was so, you know, I tweeted out that this had to be some sort of mistake or some sort of just credentialing issue, because there's so many layers of security to this. Like, it just surprised me that this person would be allowed to go in there in an unauthorized capacity. It was just a bizarre story from the start.
Red Sox Dave Dombrowski made the following quote. He said, "I don't like the implication that we were doing something that they were checking on." And then he continued and said, "Don't forget, they're the ones that created a false credential for somebody that's not supposed to have one." I thought that was really fascinating. Of all the things we've heard about this situation, for Dave Dombrowski with the Sox to come out and say that, I thought, boy, the end of that is pretty interesting, because a lot of folks would definitely agree with the beginning of that statement that they don't like the implication that the opposing team was doing something that they were just checking on. And apparently, Major League Baseball's 24-hour thorough investigation had found that and only that. But the back half of that statement, "Don't forget, they're the ones that created a false credential for somebody that's not supposed to have one." I think that tells you all you need to know, doesn't it?
I can't believe that, you know, these allegations have become more frequent, as you know, Andy. So, you know, back in 2016, Justin Verlander, you know, the irony, of course, being Justin Verlander was one of the biggest accusers of the Indians in 2016 when he was with the Tigers late in the year, and then in the postseason, the Red Sox accused the Indians of stealing signs and all this stuff. it's crazy that to the level that this has taken, this has become, you know, part of the game. Like, I never had an issue. Like, if you've got a guy on second, you're the pitcher, yeah, you better have a second set of signs. Or I was all for any sort of gamesmanship as far as, like, hey, I'm on second, I'm going to give my teammate a signal to plate if I can see the signs. Fine. You know, if I'm the pitcher and catcher, I better have a better system than that. When you get into the fact that teams are suspecting other teams of relaying them via video, having a video out in center field and relaying that somehow, like, MLB's got to do something about this. I can't remember who I read this week, but, you know, why not put an earpiece in the pitcher's ear and the catcher's ear and have them communicate the signs that way? Well, then the batter's going to listen to it. Well, how about this? Use code names for your pitches, you know, and switch them up every inning or something like that. But MLB, in my opinion, has to do something about this because, you know, one of my biggest issues, Andy, with the 2016 postseason was anything that takes away from the on-field action, which this postseason, I think you'd agree, has been fantastic. Anything that takes away from it has to go. In 2016, for the Indians, it was Chief Wahoo. Had to go. It's got to go. Can't be there. Can't take away from the Indians' on-field product. This sign stealing stuff, got to go. Can't take away from the awesome game last night that, you know, the Red Sox won, and the Red Sox-Astros series has been great, in my opinion. So anything taken away from on-field product, got to go.
Joel Hammond joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We're talking about Astrogate. See, it's not really been given a name yet, so it's like the controversy Major League Baseball tried to dispel this so quickly. We haven't even developed a name for this thing just yet, but because I've got nothing else to go with, I'm just going to call it Astrogate. And Joel, a lot of people have actually, I found this so interesting that throughout the course of this week, around here, people were so respectful of the Astros, even though they had swept the Indians, and that all of a sudden, these reports surfaced at the beginning of the week. And a lot of people around here, most of them wouldn't be caught dead rooting for the Red Sox. They all of a sudden changed their tune a little bit. And a lot of people believe that it was poetic justice that the game the other night, not the elimination game, but I believe it was game four, went down the way it did when the Astros didn't get a single break to go their way. And you could take a look at the home run call or lack thereof when Betts jumped up and tried to make the catch and then the fan kind of stole it away from him. Joe West originally ruled that there was fan interference. They went to the replay. Everybody kind of thought that looking at the replay, this is going to be a home run. They didn't overturn the call. You feel like there's some poetic justice here with the Astros?
Yeah, there was a lot of ink spilled, virtual ink spilled after the ALDS and after the Astros won game one of the ALCS that, you know, these guys are just better. There's a lot of talk from the Indians about the Astros analytics being better. Now you kind of see that maybe Mike Clevenger was hinting at something else, you know, maybe about this guy that was relaying signs and that sort of thing. And Kipnis mentioned that too, that they were out coached and out this and out that. And maybe that's what he was referring to. You see some people backtracking now about the Astros. Look, the Astros are really good. They've got a good pitching staff. Their lineup is strong 1-9. But, you know, this story certainly casts at least a little bit of doubt on, okay, are they good? Are they really good? Or are they good and have a little help too? So, you know, the Astros, they kind of came out of nowhere. They won the World Series last year. They had another great year this year, won 100 games again this year. And all of a sudden, they're unlikable. I think it's funny how teams can sort of shift from being kind of a darling with these fun players like Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa and Alex Bregman, who I love. And they shift from kind of being a darling to all of a sudden being, oh, these guys are a little slimy, aren't they?
It's incredible. It is incredible how quickly that happened. Because, again, at the end of that Indian series, you know, people were thinking, you know what? At least we didn't lose to the Yankees, or at least we didn't lose to the Red Sox. Like, the fans around here felt like they could at least stomach the idea that they lost to the Astros, a respectable team, the defending champs. But it's crazy how that narrative just changed over the course of a week. And, you know, I want to get back down to the root of this. You know, you had mentioned that during 2016, you were kind of down there in the flesh, so to speak. You were down in the field. You were in the pit. And I would imagine that just kind of thinking about how this all went down, when somebody who's not necessarily credentialed gets into that area, I feel like there's got to be a weird dynamic at play there. I mean, when you're in that situation, and, you know, Joel, you were at the forefront of that. You were tweeting, you were taking pictures, you were streaming videos, all that kind of thing. You were giving fans firsthand access to something that they couldn't really get. And that's kind of what someone who's very, very closely involved with social media is supposed to do. But when you see somebody else that comes in doing what this Astros employee was alleged to have been doing, is it easy to pick that person out, or do you think these kind of folks just blend in?
You know, especially when you get in these series, maybe even in the first game. So, you know, for instance, game three of the LDS was the first game at Progressive Field. So when you get into the first game at a certain site, you know, it can be, you know, there's new faces, you know. And so I don't begrudge anyone the fact that they sort of missed this guy. I think Andre Knott was one of the ones that kind of flagged this guy and said, you know, he's a little out of place, and what's this guy's role? And it's easy to kind of lose track of these people because there are new faces every time, every round. I mean, MLB, you know, MLB is so focused on making sure that their security is tight and their credentials are tight. Get this, Andy. There's a rule on your credential. You saw it on your ALDS credential. You post a picture of you and Alcorn on your Facebook page with your credential showing, MLB will call you and tell you to take it down. That's how strict they are about these credentials. You know why? Because they don't want anybody looking at the credential and creating a duplicate. You know, you look at a picture of a credential, you can easily duplicate that. Now, whether it scans through the gate, that's another story, but you can create a duplicate of that. And so MLB is so focused on making sure that doesn't happen. You do wonder when something like this does happen, how exactly? Well, it's because every round there's new faces, you know? So I certainly don't begrudge like getting security or Fenway security or whatever, this guy getting in, but at some point, you know, maybe not the new face, but his actions probably is what tips somebody off. Like, is this guy, he's acting kind of funny, you know? So it's interesting to see, you know, put a face with name and learn about what this guy was doing in the pit. It makes you think back to, like, if I was down there in 2016, would I have given this guy a second thought? I don't know. You know, I mean, you're focused on what you're doing. There's so many new faces, people going this way and that. It's a hard thing to decipher, you know?
No, it definitely is, and you've told me several times that when you go to Fenway, look, people look at Fenway for a number of different reasons. They think, oh, man, there's so much history here. It's a great ballpark. When you're covering games there, it's not as pleasant because that facility is a little bit dated, and I kind of get the impression, Joel, that maybe at Fenway they found this guy out because at Fenway, I mean, you could tell pretty quickly whether this guy showered within the last 24 hours. That's how crammed in you guys are to that pit. You kind of feel like because it happened at Fenway, maybe that's why this came out as quickly as it did?
Yeah, you know, the Fenway and Wrigley were cramped. I mean, if you're going to be in the pit at Fenway and Wrigley, you're going to have to be a still photographer. You're not going to be able to have a cell phone in the pit at Fenway and Wrigley because the space is so small. I think this came about where, you know, I think Andre Knott had his first here in Cleveland. He tipped it off on whatever the day it was, whether it was it Wednesday or Tuesday in the afternoon, like, hey, this story's coming. So he knew about it and he was on top of it. And then all of a sudden these stories come out of Boston that this guy's been found out. And you mentioned earlier, and I just sort of chuckled, you know, the Astros came out with a statement like, this isn't a story. Let's get rid of this. Well, of course you don't think it's a story. I thought that was great. Now let's be honest. Like, the Indians didn't lose to the Astros because some guy was in the photo pit. The Indians got beat up pretty good, so that's not the case. But I think you're going to see a lot of discussion this offseason about what can be done about this. Again, like I said, I'm on record. If you got a guy on second base, you better make sure you're changing your signs. That's one thing. Gamesmanship, I'm all for. If you're using some sort of technological advantage to try to steal signs, that's where I draw the line. So it'll be interesting to see how MLB reacts. I think it was Jason Stark. Was talking to, who was it, Lance McCullers maybe. He suggested, let's just put a little earpiece like NFL does. Like, put a little earpiece in this guy's helmet, put a little earpiece in his ear, and have him communicate to the catcher that way.
See, that would be fascinating, and I think that would add a totally different dynamic to this, but I think that would be fun for us to follow. I know they've got owners' meetings coming up in a month, and of course the winter meetings are about 6 weeks to 8 weeks away here as well, so I would imagine that you are going to hear a heck of a lot more about that. Joel, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. I mean, you can offer a totally different perspective on this because you've been in the pit in these high-pressure situations in these league championship series, these league divisional series, and, of course, a couple of years ago in the World Series as well. So thank you for the perspective, as always, my friend, and thank you for the time.
You got it, Andy. Take care.